B-Pod Studios.
Tub.
All right, hour two of the program again. Felger Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub, FM dial in Boston, the simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. DraftKings, your presenting sponsor. On both sides of it, we come to you from our Town Fair Tire studios in Dorchester. And today is a reentry Monday brought to you by East Boston Savings Bank. Taking care of all of our partners right there. Give it a little Patriots minute here. Some Patriots items from the weekend, including some intel on what's going on down at these closed rookie camps at Gillette. What do you got?
Just a little bit. Very little, Gad Murray.
All right. So I believe it's from the same guy. The Spike King, Maz?
Yep.
Yeah, the Spike King, who is, he's plugged in with Patriot stuff. He's given good stuff to Maz before. He's given good stuff to me before. He has a big following on Instagram.
So this is an Instagram guy.
Yeah, this is him. Yeah,
but he knows some of the players and stuff. I don't want to give away too much of his stuff. But, you know, people, he's got a ton of followers, like close to 40,000 followers.
Do you know who it is?
Yeah, I've met him before. He's a good dude.
Yeah, I've done live with him on Instagram.
So he put out over the weekend.
Oh, I have. No, I'm going live on Instagram.
I'll take it. Go ahead. Let's go.
No, it won't be long before I'm taking my shirt off, too.
He writes, Mac Jones has impressed early with the rookie minicamp. First impression with players and coaches is really good. Looks in much better shape. The quote here, I don't know who it's attributed to, but he writes in quotes, he's calm, listens intently, and moves deliberately. He was well coached before.
There you go. Now, you'll also be happy to know, and this is where you're going to scoff and scoff away. Not a single pass thrown. Belichick, no throws yesterday. It was just, going through stuff and learning stuff and talking and, walking and et cetera, et cetera. But Jones apparently looks the part.
And did you see the photo?
He's engaged.
Did you follow up, Maz?
No, I did not.
That sounded like a follow-up from the draft.
No, that was another, I don't know.
Lion King report. What's the guy's name?
Spike King. Just call him Spike.
Did you see the photo we posted of him too, Maz?
I did not see the photo.
He looked kind of leanish. He looked in better shape, so I buy it.
Oh, look, again, I think I'll take any reason to be optimistic and anything that'll keep Cam Newton off the field.
I will tell you what. I will take the Spike King. And I say this with all the respect in my heart. Honestly, this sounds like such a dig, but it's not.
Do it.
Then, the Jeff Howes or, the Patriots reporters who I think could be influenced by the team. If the same group of guys tell me that Mac Jones looks great, who are the same guys that told me last year that Jared Stidham's the next guy, then I just feel like,
dismiss it.
You're being fed the next storyline. As opposed to what's actually going on out there. If it's just, and I say this with all the love and respect in my heart, some schmo on Instagram, I think that's a better chance of being right.
And did you see the...
Mario, you talking about the photo with McDaniels?
Yeah, that
one. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And did you see, I sent it to you during the last commercial break, but Bill Barnwell of ESPN, behind the paywall today, just a few hours ago, he put up an article of when the rookie quarterbacks will start. He has Mac Jones starting week 5 at Houston.
Good place to start.
Yeah,
you could throw left-handed and win that game.
All right. So, but just, let's see. And it's just so, that they don't open up that rookie camp. How many?
It's pathetic, actually. It's pathetic.
Is every other team in the league, I saw pictures of Trey Lance today in the Niners uniform. We saw his
dad. There's video with Justin Fields, yucking it up and having a time. No, from my knowledge, cursory knowledge, or just a search on Twitter this weekend. Everyone's there except for the Patriots.
It is. It's annoying. Yeah. It's annoying as all hell.
This is what I feel like saying to Bill. Bill, you suck, right? You're 7-9. You carry on like this. You're still, six-time Super Bowl champion. You're under 500. Your team blows. But yet you're going to carry on like this? You're freaking World War III trade secrets here? Oh, get over yourself.
I'll tell you, take this with a grain of salt. If I were Kraft, I'd want him to open it. Bill, really? Can we just give people a little bit of a look at the new team now and get them a little bit amped up? Can we do that? Or at least the newest kids? Can we do that?
I mean, it's not Bill's job to provide the hype. I get it, but what are you protecting there?
Especially if the quarterbacks aren't really throwing.
It is just effing football. God. Did they even let the Perillos of the world in there?
I believe only team employees. I believe that's correct.
So do I have a report from Perillo or the guys? I went on Patriots.com just now. A report from the Hill?
Should be.
Okay, so, fine. At least give me that. But either way, anyway. So the Spike King there says Mac Jones looking good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'll take it. Fine.
Good enough. Anything that potentially could keep Cam Newton off the field, I'm in.
Same here.
Good enough for me. All right. Item number two on the Patriots. There was some whining from some local guys about the Patriots' schedule over the weekend, huh, Murray?
Yeah. If there's one thing I have little to no tolerance for at this point, it's the persecution complex of the worst segment of Patriots fans, the humorless ghouls who take everything as a slight, even after all these championships. And the latest is this. Yeah, the lack of primetime games. Over the weekend, I read not one, but two. Yes, two. Articles.
So can I give you Ben Volen real quick?
Please.
That's called a newspaper. Patriots no longer appear to be must-see TV. Ben writes, the Patriots have dominated headlines all offseason. They came out firing in free agency, adding two tight ends, two wide receivers, and a pass rusher. They drafted quarterback Mac Jones in the first round. They want the world to know that last year's 7-9 finish was just a blip, and they're back to take the AFC by storm. Except, you know who's not buying it? The NFL and its television partners.
Yeah, good deal.
Two of the Patriots, they only have three national TV games. You're allowed five. They only have three. And two of the three national TV appearances, says Ben, are pity games. Atlanta has only one national game on a Thursday night. That's you. That's one of your three primetimers. And a Monday nighter at Buffalo for the third year in a row. He says the Patriots are scheduled for 10 games at 1 p.m. this year, plus two 4 p.m. games that are not national games. He says the schedule conveys the message that the league office and networks don't seem to have a ton of confidence in the Patriots' offseason chances.
Good.
He says it's jarring to see the NFL release its schedule and notice how little deference the league paid to the Patriots. Welcome to the new normal.
So that one, Ben's, I feel like was kind of pandering to the fan base a bit. The other one came from Mike Reese, which, sorry, leads me to believe that the team is also pissed.
Good.
And yeah, right. So, until further notice, guess what, guys? Like, you're a middling team. Your brand took a hit last year. You don't have a marquee superstar player that puts asses in seats the way Tom Brady did. You don't deserve to have more than the three you have. If you want it to change, don't suck, and don't have Cam Newton as your quarterback. Until then, don't whine about it. You got the primetime schedule you deserve. That's it.
Yeah, Tom Brady's got five. You got five primetime games. So, again,
one of the counters to this, because we talked about it, I'm sorry, Mez, on me and Gasper on Saturday, and he's like, well, I can see people already whining, well, why do the Saints still have, like, five primetime games? The same thing happened last year. You get the benefit of the doubt. I know they don't have Drew Brees anymore, but last year you had five primetime games post-Brady. You get to have a breather. You get to have 1 year to see if the league could see, like, all right, are you still, like, one of these marquee brands? Well, it turns out the Patriots finished 7-9, and you're not. So you're going to take a hit. What do you expect to happen?
Well, so Atlanta, Buffalo, and then the Brady game, which isn't about them.
Yeah, it's more about Brady than anything else.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no question. Look, again, I think this is good. Good. This is what you get. You got to win it back now. This is the whole point. Like, I think that a little bit of humility can sometimes be a motivating factor.
Is it registering?
I don't know.
No.
I don't think it is.
Not so far.
You know, well, let's be the only team in the league.
It's a fair point.
That doesn't open up our rookie camp because we're so awesome and we can do whatever we want. I want someone to remind Bill, you suck right now. You suck.
It just tells you how little that they all think of Cam Newton. Because, again, it's all about Newton. If they had Jimmy Garoppolo here, you think they'd have gotten three? I bet you they'd have gotten more.
It always goes back to that.
I know. Right.
Unbelievable.
All right, fine, so I won't say Jimmy out there. Pick another quarterback. Who else do you want? Pick another one.
Hey, Murray, what do you think of Evan Fournier on the Celtics?
Sucks.
I was trying to set you up if they only had Garoppolo, how do you think you'd look?
Like, my brain's a little bit of mush on Mondays.
All goes, it's okay. I tried a joke. I shouldn't.
You'd be an all-star if you
No more Garoppolo. Jokes. No more humor. My fault. One more Patriots item for you. Kraft taking another dig. I said another dig at Bill Belichick over the weekend and adding those calls to our Bruins commentary right after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
Ooh, isn't the show so great when you're not there, Felger? Yeah, I got a ton of those. I sent those.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mac Jones, What are your thoughts on Mac Jones?
I'm excited to have him, but I'm excited to have Cam Newton, too.
Oh, Cam Newton.
See him like that.
Who do you want to see starting? Cam?
Well, let Bill. I paid Bill a lot of money. Let him decide.
It's just a real small, subtle thing, but I love it. I love when Robert does that. So that was from TMZ. Robert in Hollywood, I guess. Hollywood, California, L.A. Caught on the street by TMZ. Little Q&A there about Brady. It started out, we didn't play the whole thing. Brady returning, he's excited. Cam Newton, Mac Jones. He's excited for Mac Jones and Cam Newton, he points out. And Cam Newton. And then who should play? I pay Bill a lot of money. Let him decide.
I pay Bill a lot of money. Let him decide.
That right there. Oh, I love when Robert does that. That's his way of tweaking him. And Bill gets so little tweaking that anytime he gets it, I love it. You pay him a lot of money. He'll figure it out. That, you know, that's as close as Bill gets to getting put on notice publicly. Like, that's even a little strong. But it's just a tweaking. I pay you a crap ton of money, Bill. You better get that one right. It's also your fault when you screw it up. Don't look at me. I pay you a lot of money.
Well, and I think that's been a little bit of a theme during the offseason. Again, you know, we usually make fun of the teams that spend this money. And, you know, we went out and we haven't had good drafts. And, I think that what Bill is effectively saying is, I've given you players, now give me results.
And I pay you to get the results and all of that. Robert's done this before, every now and then, and I just like it because, again, it's just, it keeps Bill honest a little bit because Bill, it hits him right where it hurts. Right, you know, Bill's so afraid to talk contract and doesn't, so sensitive to the contract thing and what he makes and what he's signed for. It's always, you know, off limits, completely off limits. He makes everyone keep their mouth shut. Robert keep their mouth, and, you know, there's only a few people who know what he's got going on. But he's just so sensitive to it that no one's allowed to say anything about it. Robert Kraft at the owners' meetings. This was like, Jeremy, when was this? 3 years ago? 4 years ago?
2015.
Okay, so even longer. 6 years ago, Kraft did it too. He's talking about, I think, how long Bill's going to coach for and how much longer he wants him on the team. And this is what Kraft said.
Do you ever sense from him just that he's closer, you know, that he's thinking about?
You'll have to ask him. I think he's... He likes what he's doing, and he likes getting paid for doing what he loves.
These are like verbal cup checks.
These are verbal little cup checks. Absolutely.
Love it.
So the one yesterday, it's not just, hey, Robert, who do you want, Mac or Mac Jones or Cam Newton? Oh, you know, I'd like to see either. That, you know, that'd be great. You know, we're happy with either. He could have said that. Instead, he said, nope. Ask Bill. I pay him a lot of money. He'll figure it out.
I pay Bill a lot of money. Let him decide.
Love it. And if you decide wrong, well, that's a lot of money spent for a bad decision.
I mean, he is on some level, like he, you know, I say he's on notice. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Oh, he's letting you know about the hierarchy.
Yeah, hell yeah, he is. And again, right now, Bill deserves it. I would say the same thing that I said in the last segment, Murray, we talk about Patriots fans being bent out of shape about the schedule. Good. Kraft's tweaking Bill. Good. Good. They need some of that down there because they had a bad year last year. And now all of a sudden it's like, what do you expect everybody to treat you like what you were now that Brady's gone? No. You got to earn it back just like everybody else. If Bill's going to do that to people, to players, then he can't be surprised when it's done to him.
Damn straight. And Robert's like the only one above him who can do it. I love it when Robert does it. Yep. Bill makes a lot of money. We should be all set. Wouldn't you say? I'd pay him handsomely, so that means he's the best. He'll have the answer.
You know what I would love to hear him say? Well, I'd pay Bill a lot of money. I'd pay his kids, too. Oh, I'd love to hear that.
All right, it's a reentry Monday. Everything's on the table, so there's your Patriots minute. Ray and Revere wants to talk Red Sox. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, guys, Tony, I agree with your sense with this Red Sox team. I think they're going to be in this division the whole year. But, you know, there's four teams over 500. I think it's going to be a dogfight. So I got some observations and a question, and I'll hang up. First is, since 2012, when the wild card rules changed, they haven't been a wild card, you know, with the play-in game. They were the wild card team seven times in the 14 years prior. Question is, do you think the owner is going to step up and add?
Is the owner going to step up and add at the trade deadline? He's meaning this.
Well, so look, the one, you know, that's a good question. It's a good question, because one of the only ways they might be able to get talent is to add it at the deadline by taking salary. Like, they're not going to trade premium prospects. They're trying to rebuild the farm system. But if they can, you know, take on a guy by taking on a salary, which is what they did with the Yankees when they got Ottavino. Ottavino wasn't really the guy they wanted in that deal. They took his contract to get the minor league pitcher, German, I think his name is, right? And I think it's pronounced that way. So, you know, same type of deal. Yeah, pull out the checkbook. Let's go. If you have to buy a player, buy him.
Chris in Hartford on the Sox. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, Maz, did you say that Duran sucked about 3 weeks ago?
I don't think so. I'll tell you what I did say.
It does sound like you.
No,
but...
it does sound. No, I'll tell you what I did say, because Chris, I think he sucks defensively.
On you. I just want to clarify, okay? Because if you say that he sucked, I want you to tell me why he sucks.
Defensively. So I saw him play in spring training. He absolutely butchered a fly ball out there, and the reports I heard aren't good. So now, look, he got off to a pretty good start with the bat, and, you know, they've changed his swing. They want him to hit for power, but defensively he needs some work. He's not a center fielder yet.
But is it a topic because the bottom of the lineup has been so spotty and they need the help, and is this kid ready and he's not ready, et cetera? Is that what we're talking
about?
Yeah,
I think, you know, it's going to – because Cordero is just so bad. He's just so bad. So, like, you know, but the bottom of the lineup, you know, Dahlbeck had a big home run on Friday night. Like, that was a really good win for them. Renfro's been better of late, so they're getting something out of that group now. But, you know, I just don't think that it's going to hold up, and Cordero's brutal.
Adam in Rhode Island on the Pats. Hi, Adam.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I think it's going to be a scorched earth year, because I think Bill is frustrated. When it all started, it was Belichick versus Parcells. Belichick won. Now it's Belichick versus Brady. And I think he's got egg on his face, and I think he's going to do whatever. I mean, I don't care what Kraft says. Belichick's already made his money. He's got his accolades. It's him against Tom, I think. I think it's one against one now.
Okay, Adam, you know.
And and I hope that he is motivated by that, and they win the Super Bowl. And if they do, guess what? You're tied.
Okay, right. So the reason Bill went on this run here is because he was scorched earth against Parcells. Let me tell you something. When he went to the Cleveland Browns in 1991, he still hated Parcells. He was done with Parcells then, too. And he had one winning year in five. And then he got here and had another losing year. All I'm saying, caller, is did Bill go on this run here because he was scorched earth against Parcells, or did he go on this run here because Brady dropped into his lap in the sixth round in his second draft? First draft. He started his second year. So it's like, Bill needs to prove himself on his own before I'm willing to say that his success here was a result of anything other than Tom Brady. Sorry. Those were the stakes last year, and that's the result of it.
I mean, for a guy that loves to preach the team concept, he does take a lot of credit.
Oh, my God. Totally. I've told you that for a while. Mike and Nashua on the Sox. Go, Mike.
Yeah, do you guys remember after the opening weekend against Baltimore when we were writing the season off? They're for real this year, I think. You know what? They're 12-5 on the road. I know it's a small sample size. And the thing I'm excited about, they don't even play the Yankees until June. So it's going to be a good summer, I think.
Okay, so Maz, I know he's pointed this out before. Shaughnessy pointed out over the weekend that they're just beating up on bums. Their record against bad teams. It's been a lot of Baltimore. This Anaheim team sucks. And, you know, they've done a lot of that. I never hold that against teams because I think there's a lot of teams that beat up on bad teams, tread water against the good ones, go into the playoffs, and then anything can happen. Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Last year, they were one of those bum teams.
Okay, right, exactly.
So, you know what? I'd rather be the team doing the beating of a bum team than be the bum getting beaten.
Thank you.
So I'll take this every time.
Are you not holding it against them like you have?
No. I mean, again, I think the Angels lineup is decent. Sometimes I look at them and I say, how do they suck so bad every year?
Every year.
It's unbelievable, but you look at it and you say, they got some big names over there. You know, and not that Upton, but at one time, Upton was a big player. Trout and Ohtani are terrific. Like, you look at them and say, why do they suck so bad? They're pitching blows. But, you know, that game Friday night, look, it's baseball. You're going to lose one out of every three times automatically. That game Friday night, to, you know, blow it and then come back and win it on the home run by Dahlbeck late, like, that's a good win. You know, that was one of their better wins of the year. And I like the way they play overall. I got respect for the way they play. I think they're a real team. Are they going to win 95 games? I'm not holding my breath. But can they be in it right to the very end? Yeah. Yeah, they can.
Aren't they on pace for over 100 wins?
Yeah. You know, again, I just don't. Over the long haul, I think that's going to even out a little. Okay, so I don't think they're a 100-win team, and I'm not sure that in retrospect that there's a 100-win team in the American League East.
If they can be like the Bridgy Red Sox with more balls than talent, that's not a bad thing. It's a good product. They have some issues, like pitching is questionable. I think Eddie Rodriguez and Eovaldi are both over 4 ERA, right?
But Murray, that's a good way to look at it. The Bridgy Red Sox.
Yeah, you got a questionable bullpen. The bottom of the lineup's not that great, but you can win a lot of regular season games with guile and guts. And
not just that, the baseball playoffs have become just make the tournament kind of thing.
Oh, sure, yeah. No, it's definitely like who's hot at the right time.
Wild card teams win World Series, you know, lesser team. It really is. It's why it's come like the Stanley Cup playoffs. Like the baseball playoffs are wide open now.
Yeah, I just stay in it, right? Stay in it, see where you are, take a shot. Like, that's sort of how I'm looking at the season. And right now, I'm reasonably confident because of the way they play that, you know, I don't think they're going to lose 11 in a row. I don't think that's happening.
Reentry Monday continues. Everything being on the board. Back to your calls after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Felger and Maz.
I'm not even going to look it up because I'd rather just deliver that to you.
Facts be damned.
Yep.
Make the shirts.
Yep.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Miller shoots, blocked, rebound far side. Oh, that knocked down Dillon. He's limping to get back into the play. Wilson brings it across on right
wing. One-man rush.
High slot, it's fired, and they score! I think Dowd may have gotten it. It was a shot at the right point that trickled through Raskin in. And the Capitals take game one, 3-2 in overtime.
Well, just one timer after the blue line there. I think it was going over my head or at my head or something, and then hit a stick, hit my chest, and somehow end up in the net. I think I probably bumped it into my own net or something. I didn't really see the replay, but that's what I would guess.
So I don't blame him for the last goal. Deflection. Fluky little bounce. Happens. I just wish he had a cup. So it's not time after time, you know. He's not the reason they lost. He's not the reason they lost. I would just like him to be once the reason they won it all. And that's, I think, would sort of end it. But it's not going to. And so, you know, we're back here in the same place we were when we started with Tuukka Rask. Do you blame him for the last goal?
I told you, I don't. I blame him. No. But again, the way it went in bugged me. Like when the goalie kind of moves the puck into the net or bumps it into the net, it's frustrating. So again, now could he have controlled that? I probably not. I mean, but I admit overall in the game, I thought he was good. I mean, I thought Rask played a good game. He's not top of my list. But when you see, the problem is too. You see the replay of it. It lands there, and he's closing his pads, and he pushes it into the net. And suddenly you go, what the hell are you doing?
And that to me just looks inexcusable.
Yeah,
I didn't love the first one either. Like, I'm done with the guy. Like, I'm not going to be fooled by Tuukka Rask. I'm not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe, Maz. That's for you.
There you go.
Not after game 7 against St. Louis. And so I also think, I heard Zoe today, like, how can you root against this guy? I believe you can root for a team while strongly disliking one of the most important players. I've done it before with Drew Bledsoe, so this isn't anything new for me. He's all stats, no heart. They're not going to win a cup with him. And, blamity death, be angry about it. I don't care because I kind of tweeted about this over the weekend. There was part of me that when Vanacek went down, I was like, oh, man, why can't that happen to us? Because the decision's made for them, Like, it's just, like, I think the kid is special. He could be. He could be on this run. I don't think they're going to win a cup with Rask. I don't. I'm done with that. I'm not going to believe in him ever again.
I mean, the traffic in front of the net, I think, was the difference in this game, loosely. Like, the Caps got in front there. They, one of them went off of Lozon, obviously, but Ovechkin was there. The Bruins scored, the Richie goal when he was in front of the net. Like, I think that's what it's going to take in this series. You're going to have to go in there.
Meanwhile, Tuukka was cryptic about his future. He got asked about it by DuPont in the postgame. Jeremy, can you play me the Rask on the future little exchange there with Kevin? Again, this was a postgame on Saturday night.
Health-wise, body-wise, you feel good enough, you could go?
Play after this year?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
I'm not going to answer that right now. I'll talk to you after the season. You'll find out.
Okay, again, you'll find out. Like, I don't know if people have read into that. There was also Cam Neely, when he was on TNR on Friday, mentioned something about, you know, Rask has to take care of something that he's got to take care of, and you know, then we'll see. And I'm paraphrasing there. It was something along those lines where, I don't know, people read it as he's got back surgery coming up or something. He's got some sort of surgery coming up or some sort of decision coming up. And so, I don't know, there's a little bit of a cryptic nature there with Tuukka Rask.
I think they want him back. They just want him at a reduced number. I mean, you know, if you're setting up sort of the handoff to the next guy, you want a veteran goalie there. My guess is they want, if they brought Rask back this year, they're going to bring him back again, I think.
Okay, back to your phones here, as promised.
Go away.
Eddie in Pittsfield. Go ahead, Eddie.
Yeah, hey, I'm from Pittsfield, Mass. Just want to reiterate that I haven't heard Maz or Pelger or Murray mention anything about dumping the puck and going to get it. The best Boston Bruins teams in the past, and I've been a Bruins fan for so long, probably 60 years, 58 years.
I got it, Eddie.
They dump it.
You want dump and chase style. Thank God the Bruins are a little more skilled than that now. Mm-hmm. But, however, given the amount of times that David Pastrnak gets the puck taken away from him, or Marchand in this game lost the puck on stick handling, or Taylor Hall skates into a poke check away, maybe they could do a little bit more of that.
To me, it felt like in the first game they didn't do enough of it.
Get it low and try and pick on Chara if he's out there against you. Again, Laviolette's hiding Chara against the Bruins' top two lines. So I don't know if they'll get the opportunity to do it, but go ahead and do that versus just getting poke checked at the top of the circles.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, even if it is the third and fourth lines, do it anyway. Chara doesn't like to go back there. He's slow now. So you know what? Make him go back there. Even if, again, even if it's your third and fourth line, give it a shot.
Mike in the car, go. Mike in the car. Okay, babe, you can call us back. You know the number. Jared in New Hampshire. Jared, you're up next. Hi.
Hi, so I was, that goal by Rask was soft. It hit him right in the chest. I'm with Murray. I'm rooting for him to get taken out so they can put the kid in.
Okay, well, then you're down 2-0. Then you're down 2-0. That's really what you want? You got to time this just perfectly. You got to hope Rask tweaks something in a win, and that's how Swayman comes in if for this what you want. If you want him to get shelled, and now you're down 2-0, 3-1, something like this, it's too late.
See, I think people get stupid when it comes to the goalie.
Yes, I know. This
if you want to know the truth.
I've pushed off the entire conversation.
Yeah, look, and again, I get it. I mean, I understand. It's a polarizing position. I get the whole nine yards, and I understand what you're saying, Murray. I get it.
Yeah, and I readily admit I'm stupid. I'm an anti-Rasker. I'm ready to storm the garden and wave my flag. Like, I'm done with the guy.
I think the other side's more stupid than Murray's side.
Oh, I mean, that
you mean defend him at all costs?
Yes. Yes. Like, oh my God, the Boohoo Tuukka crew. It's like they're surprised every time someone focuses on the goalie. It's like, guys, he's the goalie. It's the starting quarterback. It's the starting pitcher. It's the goalie. It's an important spot. I don't know if you've noticed. So, yes, people tend to focus on the goaltending. That's not a Tuukka story. That's the position. Like, God. It's like they want us to treat goalie like any other position. Well, Marchand wasn't so good either. Yeah, I know the goalie's more important. But anytime it's about Rask, it's like they ask us to treat him as one of 20. One of just one of 20 guys. It's like, no, it doesn't work that way for the goaltender. I'm sorry. It doesn't. But anyway. I mean,
yeah, no. So look, my bigger issue in the game is, again, them in the offensive zone. Turning pucks over, and I think you're going to really have to dig down and drive to the net.
The bigger part of the story by far is that they couldn't take advantage of Craig Anderson, whatever the old fossil's name is. The guy, fourth string goalie, 2 starts this year, and you put 21 shots on him. That's it. Like, no, that's the story, but that doesn't mean there's not other things to discuss. And if the goalie lets in a softie in overtime, you're allowed to bring it up. But the conversation got so stupid, I guess you really can't. I don't know. Long commercial-free segment is next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Maz.
just a non-stop whirlpool of kerfuffle.
Kicking a hornet's nest every single day.
You gotta listen to believe it. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Krejci takes a look. Brendan Dillon muscles him down and look at him go. Brendan Dillon up ice. Carlo is back. Dillon has Backstrom in the pass. Jumped his stick. Look out. Ovechkin just demolished David Krejci.
Oh, did he? He walloped him. Wow. That first shift for Krejci. And the Dillon one's sort of underrated, too. Dillon de-cleated him with a puck in the Capitals zone. Then Krejci gets back on defense. Big mistake. Then Ovechkin just clobbers him, which I think has led a lot of Bruins fans to say, you got out-muscled, you got out-physical. They showed up, you didn't. No. Yes, the Capitals were more physical, but that doesn't mean you weren't physical, too. And that doesn't mean you got completely demolished or didn't show up. So I think people are overreacting to how badly the Bruins got beat. I don't think they got beat that badly. But, you know, the Ovechkin thing just sort of stands out as a tone setter. And I did notice at least one occasion, maybe in the second period, Krejci had the puck ahead of him going through the neutral zone, and he alligator armed it. And I could tell he didn't fully extend for that puck in the neutral zone coming into the zone. I think he, you know, sort of was feeling it, which, you know, I get. But also in that period, as we mentioned earlier, he set up Marchand for a beautiful low chance on Marchand's backhand, him and 40-year-old Craig Anderson, and Marchand put it over the bar. So, you know, the Bruins were still there. I think they stood up to the Capitals' physicality mostly, at least for them to be in a position to put more pucks on Anderson than they did. They missed the net 21 effing times. That's preposterous.
Yeah.
And some of those were dead red, like that Marchand chance. You know, you got Craig Anderson there, third start of the entire year. Make him make a save there. You don't go bar down on that one. Let's see what he's got first before you start trying to knock the Gatorade bottle off the back of the net.
Look, it's not the first time we've seen it with them too, right? That they get a little too fine. They try to be a little too perfect instead of just, you know, you're going to have to power your way to some goals in the playoffs. It's just the way it is. They're not telling them anything they didn't know. But I will say about the Caps, you hit the right guy. That's one of them to go after.
And you know what, Maz? I'm glad you brought that up. So maybe that is, I mean, they don't need Chara to tell them that. Laviolette's played you enough, and, you know, they've seen you enough to know that in the past, as Krejci goes, they go. So that first shift, again, it wasn't just the Ovechkin hit. Dillon, you know, again, de-cleated him with a puck. And there was another time he got double-teamed up against the half wall, I think. They were conscious of when Krejci was on the ice and they went after him.
Yeah, but look, he's a playmaker, right? That's what he is. And now he's got two wings and, you know, and actually, not to jump to Smith, I'll leave that for later. But Krejci's the right guy. You go after Pasternak, you go after Krejci, and you try to get to Marchand too if you can. Like, those are the ones. You go to those guys.
Okay,
they hit the right guy.
More of your thoughts, as promised. Steve in Portland. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, take on Bruins passing game, but can I throw something in the crock pot for you to stew on?
Yes, please.
Do you hear the Kyrie comments over the weekend, how he does not interested in basketball?
He's more interested in the violence overseas than he is in the NBA playoffs.
Yeah. Anyway, so with the Bruins, I agree with Maz. You got to put pucks on that. One shot between Bergeron and Marchand is not enough acceptable, especially when Marchand is doing his dipsy doodle, gets poked away, back the other way, odd man rush. But their passing game is horrendous. They're better passing at the Caps than they have their own guys. I don't know what's the spacing.
Okay, it's not as bad as you're saying, but there was too much of it. And again, I just like that doesn't mean they didn't show up. I think they got too fine, too cute, or hold the sticks too tight booty syndrome, whatever it is. I mean, I don't feel like Marchand didn't show up. He showed up too much and got ahead of himself, as usual.
Yeah, one of the things you normally get out of this team, at least when they're in the opposition zone, is a lot of puck movement, quick passing, and you didn't really see any of that. And then when you did, it was just a hair off or too tight. Like, that's what it is. They showed up. They're just in their heads, which we've seen time and again in recent years of this team in the playoffs. That's what was so effing frustrating about Saturday. It looked like so many of these other games that have frustrated me recently.
Yeah, look, there's not going to be a lot of space out there. You start dinking around with the puck and holding it and stick handling it. It's going to get you exactly what's going to happen is what happened the other night. You're going to lose it.
Jim in New Hampshire. Hi, Jim. New Jersey. You're in New Jersey. Go ahead, Jim.
I just want to chime in, too. First of all, Felger, I agree with your take completely. It was just one game. I thought the teams were evenly matched. I thought Tuukka played good. I do believe that we got an unlucky bounce in a couple of those goals. I just like to add a couple other thoughts. I played, coached, and watched hockey my whole life, and that was very interesting information that you gave about the 1-3-1 and Chara's time against the third and fourth line. To me, that shows Laviolette is concerned that he's outgunned. And he showed his game plan in that game one. And you don't adjust away from that type of game plan, a 1-3-1, because all you're going to do is open it up.
Well,
and the Bruins had a game plan for the first goalie, the goalie who got hurt. They didn't have a game plan for Anderson.
Oh, Jim, stop with that. What do you mean, game plan? You have a different game plan against Craig Anderson than Vaněček?
Oh, no. Apparently the game plan was to keep missing the net.
Well, like, what? I mean, would you please stop with this? Like, put it on the effing net. Make the guy make a save. You go high blocker on Craig Anderson, but you want to go seven-hole chicken wing on Vaněček because he favors the off. Would you stop with this?
I mean, look, the Bruins attempted 63 shots in the game. Okay, 63. 37 of them missed the target or got blocked. Like that's a way too high a percentage.
Ridiculous.
Way too high a percentage. And look, I'm including blocks in there, okay? But to give you an idea, the Caps, when you add all that up, were 50-50, which I think is probably close to right. Like, I don't look at it and analyze it every game. But you're talking about what? Is 65% or 60%? 40% of your shots, the goalie never has to do anything?
You know, it's just the Char thing interested me because the Bruins' first two lines were held in check. And so I think, maybe a knee-jerk there is to say, well, that's what happens when they have Chara. And then you look at the matchups, and Chara was not on the ice against those guys. He got less than 2 minutes of five-on-five time against Bergeron, Marchand, and Chara. Laviolette hit him against those guys. He was out there on the power on the PK, so, like, that's different. But that's, the power play obviously is a half-court offense. The game's a little slower. You're not going back and retrieving dump-ins. You're not trying to transition the offense back out. It's the opponent gains the zone, and then you set up in the half court, and that's Chara's game.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's still good at that. It's like playing 5-on-4.5 when he's out there because of the space he takes up.
He got the most time against anyone on the Bruins against Nick Ritchie. Second most, Sean Corrali. Third most, Charlie Coyle. That's the third line. He was out there against the Bruins. That's where Laviolette sent him. And then other than, I'll take out all the Bruins defensemen, the next three wingers he got the most time against were Wagner, Lazar, and DeBrusque. Your fourth line, Laviolette, hit him against your third and fourth lines.
I'll tell you, though, like, even so, the fourth line should be able to beat Chara to pucks. Those guys get some wheels. There's some speed in there. DeBrusque can move straight ahead. Like, so to me, I'd still attack him with those guys.
Alan in Florida on the Sox. Quickly, Alan.
Yeah, I just want to say that this year, around the trading deadline, because these teams are so evenly matched, that the general manager is going to make his oats, because whoever goes out and gets a solid pitcher or a solid relief pitcher, I think is going to be the difference. I have never seen teams like this. They all more or less stink in the American League, and the Red Sox have as much a chance as any team in that league other than the Yankees if they get hot, because they have an ace that should win almost every time he pitches. The Red Sox don't have an ace. They have a number two in Rodriguez. If they can go out and get something, I think this team, they have depth, which no other team in that league has. They do have depth, that I can tell you.
Okay, Alan, thanks for the call. Do the Yankees on paper, roster to roster, have much more talent than the Red Sox?
More high-end talent. Yeah, more high-end. I mean, they're superstars. Cole is, obviously way ahead. I would put Judge and Stimile, if Bogarts, Martinez, and Devers keep playing like they're playing, you sort of negate some of that in the middle of the Yankee lineup. I like New York's bullpen better. So, I think the Yankees are better. Okay, maybe they're not as good as I thought they were, but I think the Yankees are better. Of course, Stanton can never stay healthy, and he's injured again. So, but I do think, look, there's a certain amount of truth to what Alan is saying, which is, if you make a significant move at the deadline, and again, I'm not talking about giving up prospects, but you're able to add someone somehow, some way, maybe you buy the player effectively by taking on a bad salary somewhere else. You might be able to make a run at it. I think the league is flat.
Absolutely.
Yeah, a lot of people said it. And I say make a run at it. Make a run at the division. I think the National League is stronger. The best teams in the National League are the best teams in baseball. So, you know, but again, they could absolutely be in this thing at the end and make the playoffs. They absolutely could.
90 seconds for an update from Big Jim Murray. No.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.